The Lord is my shepherd. We read an adaptation from the 23rd Psalm a little earlier in the service. We know those words well. We know them. One of the most loved psalms of all. But why is it that we hear it more at funerals than any other time? Maybe it's just me, but it seems like almost every funeral home has it on their little printed up bulletins. And of course they do that because it's the most loved psalm. It's so comforting, and that's great. But this is a psalm that's about life with God every day. And if I just call him my shepherd at the end of my life, it seems like I'm missing so much. Because that's the crazy, beautiful thing about this song. It's true. You and I can know him. Can know him and love him so that we can say, yes, he is my shepherd. God desires our knowing him to be the most precious thing in our lives. And that's why Paul would write, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss. For the sake of Christ, what is more, I consider everything a loss. Because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage. And the word that he actually uses in the original language is stronger than that. That I may gain Christ. Look at those words, the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. You know, this isn't just a nice thought that we dress up for a Sunday and trot out for display. It's real, rugged truth that meets us in the most difficult places of life because he's real. And because he has overcome the world. Inspired by his Spirit, Isaiah prophesied these words about him 7 centuries before Jesus' birth. O Zion, messenger of good news, shout from the mountaintops. Shout it louder. O Jerusalem, shout and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. Don't miss the excitement there. And don't miss the tenderness. The church has always called the message of Jesus good news since the earliest days. And it is every bit that. God coming to us in power, but in such power that it is actually the power of love. The power of love that meets us uniquely and personally wherever we may be lost. It's the picture of a shepherd who loves us and wants to draw us close to his heart. It doesn't matter where we've been. It doesn't matter what we've done. And the way we experience that closeness is through turning from the idea of running our own lives, living for ourselves. And instead, admitting our poverty and our need and receiving the grace, the forgiveness, the love he offers us at the cross. It's not groveling. It's freedom. As the old Shaker hymn put it, 'tis a gift to be simple. 'Tis a gift to be free. 'Tis a gift to come down where you ought to be. The Christian faith is intensely, intensely personal. Or it is nothing at all. It's a relationship, not a theological system. If you know Him, you love Him. Because you know how He has carried you and held you close. If you believe, if you take the step of faith to draw near to Him, you know His reward. The reward that Isaiah mentions, the reward that the writer of the Hebrews writes or describes when he says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who comes to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Is that you this morning? Do you believe in Him? Do you have faith in Him? Oh, it is easy to be skeptical in our cynical age. And we've all seen counterfeits. Certainly counterfeits that would make us sometimes want to turn and run from things that are called Christian. And we've all been hypocrites at times. I'll speak for myself. But that does not mean that the real thing does not exist. That does not mean that He does not exist. It makes Him all the more precious for His beauty and rarity. Jesus is alive and well, and we can draw near to Him through prayer and through His Word. We can know Him in the everyday circumstances of our lives because He will meet us there. He will meet us in ways that our cynical selves sometimes dismiss. But He will meet us nonetheless. You know, when we start dismissing answers to prayer as simply random chance or persuasion, we need to think very carefully, because if you start adding up the actual odds of those coincidences, it often takes more faith to simply credit it all to coincidence. Why is it that coincidences happen more frequently when we pray? Is it simply self-persuasion? The more you'll pray, the more you'll see it's not the case. I love the way John Ortberg in his book describes this, his book, The Life You Always Wanted. This is a lengthy illustration, but it's worth reading. He says, one of my favorite stories about intercessory prayer comes from Tony Campolo. A prayer meeting was held for him just before he spoke at a Pentecostal college chapel service. 8 men took Tony to a back room of the chapel, had him kneel, laid their hands on his head, and began to pray. That's a good thing, Tony wrote, except that they prayed a long time. And the longer they prayed, the more tired they got, and the more tired they got, the more they leaned on his head. I want to tell you that when 8 guys are leaning on your head, it doesn't feel so good. To make matters worse, one of the men was not even praying for Tony. He went on and on praying for somebody named Charlie Stoltzfus. Dear Lord, you know Charlie Stoltzfus. He lives in that silver trailer down the road a mile. You know the trailer, Lord, just down the road on the right-hand side. Tony said he wanted to inform the prayer that it was not necessary to furnish God with directional material. Lord, Charlie told me this morning, he's going to leave his wife and 3 kids. Step in and do something, God. Bring that family back together. Tony wrote that he finally got the Pentecostal preachers off his head, delivered his message, and got in his car to drive home. As he drove onto the Pennsylvania Turnpike, he noticed a hitchhiker. I'll let him tell it from there. We drove a few minutes, and I said, hi, my name's Tony Campolo. What's yours? He said, my name is Charlie. Charlie Stoltzfus. I couldn't believe it. I got off the turnpike at that next exit and headed back. He got a bit uneasy with that, and after a few minutes, he said, "Hey, mister, where are you taking me?" I said, "I'm taking you home." He narrowed his eyes and asked, "Why?" I said, "Because you have just left your wife and 3 kids, right?" That blew him away. Yeah, that's right. With shock written all over his face, he plastered himself against the car door and never took his eyes off me. Then I really did him in as I drove right to his silver trailer. When I pulled up, his eyes seemed to bulge as he asked, "How did you know that I lived here?" I said, "God told me." I believe God did tell me. When he opened the trailer door, his wife exclaimed, "You're back! You're back!" He whispered in her ear, and the more he talked, the bigger her eyes got. Then I said with real authority, "The two of you sit down. I'm going to talk to you, and you two are going to listen." Man, did they listen. That afternoon, I led those two young people to Jesus Christ. Oh, I wish it always happened that way. But I've seen coincidences to prayer, or coincidences, excuse me, so-called. I've seen answers to prayer like that more than once. You know, the challenge is that God is not only personal. He's sovereign. And he will do what he will do because he is God. Yet the truth is, we see answers to prayer because he carries us. That's what David wrote here. Praise the Lord. Praise God, our Savior. For each day he carries us in his arms. Our God is a God who saves. The sovereign Lord rescues us from death. Oh, to know him. I hope that you do. Because life is difficult, it is often said, but it is so much more difficult without him. I hope he is your shepherd. And I say that because Jesus is my shepherd, and I have known him almost all of my life. And he has never failed me. He has been with me in the most desperate times. His presence has made the good times blessed, and he has met me again and again in unexpected places with his peace. That is one of the reasons why I love prayer, because there is a sweetness in his presence that has met me there. There is a sweetness in his presence that has touched my soul that I have not found anywhere else. And I'm old enough by now to have looked. No other faith speaks of a God who is both sovereign and personal like he is. Oh, I've seen him move in answers to prayer. I've felt him beside me in the silence and in the pain. His presence has met me in grief. His presence has carried me through questions. And again, the sweetness of his spirit, of just being near him. That's why I love this picture on the front of the bulletin. You've seen it before. We've used it a few times because I can't get away from it. Don't miss the joy that pulses through these words. Praise the Lord, praise God, our Savior, for each day he carries us in his arms. He is real. Look at Isaiah's words again, how they begin. O Zion, messenger of good news, shout from the mountaintops. Shout it louder, O Jerusalem. Shout and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. Right there. Right there. That's him. That's who he is. Oh, the worth. Paul was right. The all-surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. Nothing is worth holding closer than that or being held by him. Nothing is worth more. Can you say it? Say it and know it's true. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. There's an old story. I don't know if it's true. It may be. About a Shakespearean actor who years ago was hosting a dinner party. He was famous for his eloquence. He was known around the world. And that night, after dinner, when they were talking around the table, he asked his vicar, who was seated there, to recite the 23rd Psalm by heart. "Why don't you recite it?" someone said. We love to hear you. Don't you know it?" "Oh, I know the psalm," the actor responded. "But he knows the shepherd. And that makes all the difference." He loves you. And he knows you. That's the beautiful thing about him. In his infinite power, God is able to go to the most infinitesimal detail of existence and to know us better than we know ourselves. He knows you and he loves you. He loves you more than life itself, so that you and I could receive the love he holds out to us, so that you and I could say, "Yeah, the Lord is my shepherd." And whatever this life may hold, wherever I may walk, green pastures, still waters, valley of the shadow of death, in the middle of difficult times where people are saying the worst, he'll prepare a feast for me. The feast of his presence. The feast of his love. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he yours? And if he is, oh, will you bring some other wandering one near to him? His cross, His empty tomb, His Spirit given in power until He returns, and return He will. And when He does, oh, don't be a stranger. Settle it now. My shepherd. May we pray.